Must be my allergies from all the weeds this morning. Thanks, Jill. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians. I'm going to read the first 10 verses of chapter 6. Listen for the word of God. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own load. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to date myself this morning, but over 50 years ago, there was a musical that began showing off-Broadway, and since then, it has shown in this country more than almost any other musical. Now, the show itself, entitled The Fantastics, may not be known by all of you. It's about a girl and a boy growing up next door to one another, and the efforts of their fathers to raise them right and eventually to get them to fall in love with one another. But I suspect many, at least in my own generation, may remember a song that came from that musical. And the title of it is Try to Remember. Now, I hope you appreciate what I'm not going to do this morning. I'm not going to sing you this song. But I will say a portion of the song. It goes like this. Try to remember the kind of September when grass was green and grain was yellow. Try to remember the kind of September when life was sweet and oh so mellow. Try to remember when hearts were so tender that love was an ember about to billow. Try to remember. And then, if you remember, follow. Try to remember. Try to remember back to when you had so many plans and so many hopes. Try to remember when all the days burst forth with color and your life burst forth with love. Try to remember how you thought things were going to be. Now, for some, it's turned out pretty much that way, but for many of us, not exactly. Not so much. But try to remember. Because you see, you might not remember. It may be that once upon a time you felt those things, but now it's been too long ago, and maybe you don't remember anymore. And all that's left is this wistful notion that those dreams, those hopes, might have been nice. Maybe even that's fading. There's another song in the Fantastics. And it's one where the two fathers sing about the trials of raising children. Kids are so unpredictable, they say. Gardening is better. It's reliable. You know you're going to get what you planted, but you never know how kids will turn out. Maybe the way you planned, maybe not. Plant a radish, goes the chorus. Get a radish, not a Brussels sprout, they sing. That's what I like about vegetables. You know what you're about. You know, you can never tell about other people. You want to believe the best about them. You want to believe that their intentions are good. You want to believe that they're sincerely trying to the best of their ability to do what's right. And then something happens. You weren't exactly checking up on them, but you run into them at the wrong moment, and there they are, caught in the act. No way of pretending it didn't happen. Now, what are you going to do with that? Paul raises that issue in our scripture reading for today. He says you are to restore them in a spirit of gentleness. It's easy enough, understand, to cut them down, to gossip about them, to humiliate them. And instead, though, Paul says you've got to help put them back together. You've got to help bear their burdens for a while until they can bear it for themselves again. And there's no shortage of people doing things wrong, being hateful, self-centered, jealous, spiteful. You don't even have to go to the news to see that. And so there are times when you can't help but catch someone in the act. And again, it's no particular trick to be hateful or self-centered or jealous or spiteful right back, especially if you're the target of their activities and anger. You can judge them. You can condemn them. You can tell everyone else just in passing about how bad they are and how badly they treated you or someone else. But we who identify ourselves as followers of Christ, Paul says, need to do something different. We need to figure out how to restore them. We have to figure out how to make things right again. If someone's neglected to do something they should have done or not done something that they should have or went ahead and said some things that were, in fact, hateful and vindictive. And one reason we want them to be restored is because the goal of all biblical relationships, as one of my seminary professors put it, was reconciliation. Now, sometimes that takes different forms for different people. We're not suggesting that those who are divorced must get back together. We are suggesting perhaps that there can be a relationship where at least one is civil to another. But we are to restore people, Paul says. You need to do this and don't be deceived about it because God cannot be mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. If you live your life a certain way, that's the kind of person you're going to end up being. Now, usually, we interpret those lines more as a warning for those who practice, let's say, a destructive lifestyle. If you're going to live your life in a destructive way, don't be surprised if it ends up destroying you. You reap what you sow, we mutter, and we shake our heads as we think about some foolish thing they've said or done. Now, I think it's true enough that too often, bad consequences are the result of bad choices. But Paul's idea includes more than that. You reap what you sow also means that we will find good consequences resulting from our good choices. And it means, points out the minister James Ayers, who has influenced this sermon, and it means, and this is the hardest part, it means blah choices may well result in blah consequences. You see, let's be clear, we don't have control over every detail of our lives. Far from it. And yet, to some extent, we decide what kind of people we are going to be. What you plant in your life is what's going to grow there. If you plant a radish, you're going to be a radish. If you plant a Brussels sprout, you're going to be a Brussels sprout. You can't make that kind of decision for yourself. You can't decide what kind of person you are in just a moment for all the time in the future. If you want roses, you have to plant roses. Scattering dandelion seeds just won't do it. And yet there's a lot of times we miss this. We go from day to day as if our daily choices don't really matter that much. I want to make my decisions my own way for the time being, we say to ourselves. Not forever. I'll change in due time. Later on, I'll probably make a difference, but I'll change. But for now, this is what I'm going to do. And sometimes, unfortunately, we blame this on teenagers. We hear them say perhaps something like, well, someday I'm going to be hardworking and responsible, but I want to enjoy life now, and I want to be able to go places and do things right on the spur of the moment, and I want to have the freedom to have fun instead of always having to worry about a schedule and responsibility. But that is not simply a teenage issue, my friends. Right now, we are each of us making choices about who we are. Right now, I'm being caught in the act of being who I am. Right now, I'm being caught in the act of sowing or planting the kind of person I am and the kind of person I'm going to be. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. What we plant and cultivate right now is the kind of person we will be. Think about it in this way for a moment. How often have you ever run into anyone who says something like this? I want to be ugly to people. I just want to be vicious and malicious. I want to be somebody who holds a grudge. I want to have a memory that is supremely ready to remember all those things you did that you shouldn't have done and that you didn't do that you should have. And I'm going to hold on to them, and I'm going to put you on the rack for those things, and I'm going to stick the knife in and twist it so you don't ever forget it. Now, how many times have you heard people say something like that? Never, I suspect. Never. But those weren't the choices they made. They weren't the choices of all. They got caught in the act of making those other choices again and again, and what they kept on planting in their lives came to the harvest. They became the kind of bitter people that they really hadn't intended to be. So what happens when you run into someone like that? Now, most of the time, we want to run the other way. But what we have to do, Paul insists, is figure out how to restore them. And how do we do that? Now, I want to be very, very careful here. Please understand, I'm not trying to turn you loose to be the God Squad in your community, much less your family. I don't want you to be the moral patrol in our community or in your family. I don't want you licking your chops now saying, boy, I can't wait to tell my spouse this very thing and restore her or my brother or sister or this good friend who has betrayed me. Boy, I can't wait. That's not the attitude we want at all. Such self-righteousness will not do. Note instead that Paul says that one is to be restored in a spirit of gentleness. The attitude is to be one of tenderness, one of care. Note also that each individual is to be aware of oneself. Realistic self-evaluation, Paul suggests, is a guard against falling into the temptation of self-righteousness. He says, beware temptation, and he probably means self-righteousness there. Note above all that the goal is not punishment, but restoration. Restore such a one, Paul says. Yes, the hope is reconciliation, not condemnation, to reunite, not to spite. And such a goal may mean something like this, something this simple. What would it look like if the two of you could be friends again? Or, it sure is hard to be at your best when so much is going on, isn't it? Now, please don't take these words as some cookie-cutter formula that makes everything better. Comments like these may indeed help bring healing, may bring grace into the midst of brokenness, but it doesn't happen in just a few moments, only in the movies. There's no easy answer, no canned sentence, no one thing you can memorize and do by rote. It takes work and commitment. It won't become automatic, but it can be done. Take a look again at our New Testament lesson. The passage keeps talking about how the people in the church need to relate to one another. When someone is caught in the act of some sin, some wrongdoing, restore them gently. Bear each other's burdens, Paul says. Don't deceive yourselves about the consequences of your own actions. Don't get tired of doing good to each other. Instead, do something special whenever you have the chance, and particularly among those who are part of the family of faith. And bless Paul. Bless Paul. There's even a verse about making sure you pay the pastors well there. It says, those who are taught the word must share in all things with those who teach them. Blessing, blessing. But this all points us toward the fact that there is a reason Paul puts this admonition about reaping what you sow right in the middle of this passage about how people ought to treat one another, especially in the life of the church. It's because whether or not you choose to be a reconciler has a direct effect on what kind of person you are going to become. When someone does something wrong, when they become demeaning or demanding or dishonest, when they've gotten caught in the act of making that kind of choice, so often they become that very kind of person. When they get caught in the act of making that choice toward you, at the same moment, you are being caught in the act of making a choice of your very own. Will you choose to be a person who works for reconciliation? Or will you choose to be a person who responds to their bad choice with the fair share of your own hatefulness, bitterness, and spite? Or will you choose not to care one way or the other? If they want to be ugly, I'll just let them be ugly. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You reap what you sow. What you plant in your life is going to grow in your life. If you cultivate a response of anger and bitterness, that's the kind of person you will become. If you plant an attitude of not caring what they do, you will harvest a personality that is uncaring about others. But if you make the choice of being a reconciler, if you make an effort to plant in your life what will please the Holy Spirit, if you cultivate within yourself the attitude that says, in Jesus Christ, all of us are one, and so I will work to restore this person in gentleness and love. If you decide to plant that kind of life, then that's what's going to grow. you will become the kind of person who knows how to treat others better than they deserve. You will become a person of compassion. Now, my friends, I have an expectation this morning. An expectation that each one of us is going to get caught in the act. Sometime in the next few days, perhaps even in the next few hours, it's going to happen. You're going to realize that someone you know is falling short of what they're supposed to be. And at the moment you see that, you're caught in the act. The act of choosing what kind of person you're going to be. Someone who retaliates. Someone who doesn't care, or someone who restores and reconciles in love. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. We will reap what we sow. So I just wonder, what will happen when you're caught? Caught. In the act. Amen.